Right, so our reading this evening is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as lots of you know, I'm training to become a licensed lay minister. And one of the things that we have to do as part of this training is an 8-week placement in a church that's very different to our own. So I went to St. Michael and All Angels in Barnes, which is as far different to this as you could get and still be Church of England. They have robes and incense and organs and choirs. It's something else. But it was fabulous. And one big thing that they have there is Holy Communion. Every week, multiple times a day sometimes. And there were some weeks where I was receiving Holy Communion 5 times a week. And I thought, is this like posh biscuits, that the more you have them, the more they just become ordinary? And you think, oh, it's just communion again, here we go again. But actually, that's not what happened at all. The more and more I was receiving it, the more special it became. And the more I was reflecting on it, the more I realised that in what we're going to do later, so much is happening. It's such a special thing in that one moment. God is doing all kinds of things. And I could talk for hours on this, and I won't, because we want to get to it. We want to get to this moment. So I'm just going to tell you 4 things that have come to my mind as being really special about communion. But so to start, the passage we just read from Corinthians, that was a letter written to the early church, probably about 20 years or so after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So this is a really kind of an early church moment where Paul's trying to explain this is how to live as Christians. And he's describing what happened on that first Maundy Thursday, that first time when Jesus introduced Holy Communion. And you can read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's all there in the Bible. And so you can imagine this scene. The disciples, they're all Jewish, and they're all sat together and they're celebrating Passover together. And Passover is a Jewish festival, and they celebrate it every year to remember the Exodus, when God rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt. And the Jewish people, they are so good at making time and space to remember, to tell their stories and to come together and remember who they are. And so that's what they were doing in this moment. And through Passover, in the ritual, they do some sharing of bread and they do some sharing of cups of wine. There are 4 cups of wine that will go around the table. And so on that night, Jesus was leading this Passover festival. And as he picked up the bread and as he picked up the wine, the disciples probably thought, okay, he's going to say the traditional Passover prayers. But then he didn't. In true Jesus style, he did something different. He said, this bread is my body broken for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And so probably they would have all sat up in shock going, what is he doing now? And this festival where they remember God's story and what God is doing, suddenly it was taking on a whole new meaning. There was a whole new chapter. Jesus was saying, it's about me. And then, of course, we know what followed. We know what happened later that night. He was arrested. We know he was crucified. We know that he was buried and then he rose from the dead. And then we hear after he was resurrected, he actually broke bread a couple of more times with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then again breakfast on the beach with the disciples. And so that was the start of the early church having Holy Communion. And it was about telling that story. that he was God, that he died, that he rose from the dead, and he will come again. And that is our central Christian story. And Nikki said this at the APCM meeting. We have to preach Christ crucified. That's what we're here to do. And that's what we do when we hear the words that we're going to say later as part of communion. But communion does a whole lot more than just tell a story. If Jesus had wanted us just to tell a story each week, he would have said, tell the story to each other, but he didn't. He gave us a physical, a tangible ritual to do. And why did he do that? Well, it's because he knows that we're human and we need to do things tangibly. So on Friday, my little Phoebe, she turned 4. And to celebrate her birthday, we came together as a family and we had a birthday cake, we had candles, we sung to her, and we did all of those birthday rituals to celebrate. And it was so important to look back and give thanks that she was born, to give thanks of who she is now, and to look forward and say many happy returns to come. And that's exactly what we're doing in Holy Communion too. We've got this tangible way of coming together as a family to look back and give thanks, to recognise in the present that Jesus is with us and give thanks, to look to the future of what he's going to do, that he's going to come back and give thanks. And we do all of this together as a family. And so when we do this, we're using our minds and bodies. We're not passively listening to a story. We're physically entering into the story. We're joining in. We're saying, yes, we're eating that bread because we want to be a part of it. And it's not something we do alone. We do it together because we're meant to come together. We're meant to join in as one family here in HDR, but also that bigger Christian family. And the word communion, it means fellowship. It means sharing. And another word we sometimes use is Eucharist, which means giving thanks. And so you put it together and we're sharing together, we're giving thanks together. And Jesus knew that we needed this. He knew that the Christian walk is hard and we need these moments where we encourage each other and we remember together and we come and support each other and we affirm our identity together as God's people. But there is even more. So a third thing that communion does, a third reason why it's so special. When we eat the bread and when we drink the wine, it's a place for us to come and encounter God in a different way. We don't just need support from each other. We don't just need to come together. We need to encounter Jesus. We need his help. And in this sermon series, we've been looking at a series of things. We've been looking at prayer. We've been looking at worship. We've been looking at forgiveness. And as I thought about them, all of them are a gift. All of them are a gift from God, a gift from Jesus that he gave us, something that we need to help us in our walk with him. And communion is another gift. So Nikki spoke at the last evening service about forgiveness. And of course, communion, it's reminding us what God did to enable us to live these forgiven lives. And we've just sung about it in all the songs, and we're going to be hearing it again in the words of the communion prayer. The lengths that God went to forgive us. But if you're like me, when you've been a Christian for a while, the older you get, the more you notice how sinful you are. And that's because God's really kind. When you become a Christian, he doesn't slam you with everything that's wrong and expect you to change overnight. He does it gently and he does it slowly, and gradually we realise more and more things that perhaps aren't as they should be. We're a work in progress, and I think confession is a wonderful place for us to be able to lay down those things, to say what we're getting wrong and to move on. But we don't know the half of it. We can't confess everything because we don't really know what else is going on in our lives. And in this act of communion, it's a way of us coming to Jesus as we are, with all the unresolved stuff, with all the broken stuff, and knowing we're still forgiven. Even if we can't confess it, he's still forgiven us. Because if you think about that first Maundy Thursday, Judas was about to betray him. Peter was about to deny him. But Jesus still welcomed them to the table, even with what they were about to do. This bread is my body, broken for you. Forgiveness is yours, no matter what. And it's just wonderful that Jesus knows us inside and out, and he still welcomes us to this table. But Holy Communion is also a place where we can take brokenness, whether that's our own or whether it's the brokenness around us. We often say the phrase, lay it at the foot of the cross, as in give Jesus the things that are on our hearts. And I think in communion, that's a place where we can come with all of those burdens and physically hand them over to God as we stretch out our hands. And maybe as we hold our hands out, our hands feel empty because we feel lost. Perhaps we feel helpless in a situation. Or perhaps our hands even feel too heavy because we're burdened by something. But we can hold our hands out, give that to Jesus, and receive something different back. Receive his nourishment back. He said he's the bread of life. And so we're given that gift to say, you give me your troubles and I'll give you something better back. And that comes to like the fourth reason why I think communion is so special. And it's to do with grace and mystery. We don't fully understand what God is doing. When we look at others, we see God at work and we don't know how he does it. We don't know how he achieves what seems impossible. And we have those moments where a person might say to you something which is so spot on and you think, how did you know I needed to hear that? And it's because God is mysteriously at work. And I think when we come to communion, in the prayer we ask God to send his Holy Spirit. We invite him to come and be at work in this moment. And in that moment, we can know that God is transforming us from the inside out, mysteriously. He's changing us, he's healing us. And people often say after communion, they come away feeling better somehow. Maybe they feel more peaceful or more joyful, more hopeful, perhaps just a bit less alone for being in this community. And we don't know how that works. We can't get our heads around it. All we can do is hold out our hands and say, yes, please, give me some of that. I need you to change me. I need you. And he's there giving us this gift. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So it's special because it's a wonderful story that we're remembering, a wonderful event that changed the world. It's special because we're coming together as a family. We can't do this on our own. We can only do this because we're here together as God's people. It's special because it's tangible. It's a tangible way for us to come forward broken with all of that unresolved stuff and yet still welcome. And it's special because God can change us from the inside out because he's gracious and because he wants to and because he loves us. And so wonderfully, we have Jemima here tonight so that we can celebrate this meal together. We can come to this table just as we are and know that God is welcoming us and know that God is going to do something special with us through it. Amen.